but because this is part of why I feel so much better.
Mm-hmm. And you're on this early. Credit to you.
The local 53 after they lose to the Ravens. Because the Cowboys are not good. Please say this with me. The Cowboys are not good. And dare I say, the 3-2 Philadelphia Eagles at this moment are not good. They're not. I know who is pretty good.
Who's that?
The Washington Commanders, who are 4-2. So that's reason number one why I feel better after the Ravens loss. And that's the question for you guys. MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. I know it was an L, but do you feel better, worse, or the same? 800-636-1067. I've got a couple other bullet points here. You want me to give you those now, or do you want to go?
I want them now.
All right, so number one, the division is the division. Giants, bad. Cowboys, frauds. Eagles, frauds. At best, one of Dallas or Philly will be in the 10-win mix, and so will Washington. So you're in a really good spot. That's number one. Number two, people won't like this one because this feels a little like moral victory Monday. You played with the Ravens. You went there. A lot of things didn't go your way, by the way, in terms of not being able to run the ball, terrible defensive game, missed field goal, some ugly stuff throughout, and you were right there in the end. You lose by 7. Now, I will also acknowledge, and I don't know if you'd agree with this, Danny, I never thought the Commanders were at risk of winning that game.
Didn't feel that way. No, if they'd come out with a win somehow, it would have felt like they stole one.
Right.
Right.
Was there a moment after the early pick and the 3-0 lead or like 3-3 where you thought they're gonna steal this? They're gonna beat the Ravens in Baltimore. I never really felt that way.
No, I didn't either. I mean, thinking about the start of the second half, the fact that they'd even though the kick got blocked or whatever the hell that was at the end of the first half, where they're going, okay, we move the ball to get that field goal attempt, we get the ball to start the second half. Maybe here's where they go down and score a touchdown. But then once they didn't, I went, okay, now it's right back to Baltimore's offense on the field. And you settle for a field goal on that opening drive of the third quarter. Baltimore's winning this game. That's how it felt.
So number two then is you played with the Ravens, and you proved, I think, that you could play with just about anybody. Number three reason why I feel better after this game than before it. This, to me, was a really good Jaden Daniels step. If you don't want to say he played a great game, you don't have to. I don't think he was great. He was very solid. He was good. And here's what I needed to see, Danny. What happens in a game where he isn't ahead of the chains constantly with the run game? What happens in a game where he doesn't have the ability to slip out of the pocket and use his feet whenever he wants to as his easy button? When a team kind of keeps him in the pocket and forces him to throw, and he is the offense with his arm. Not the running game helping him, not him as a runner, but it's his right arm or bust. I think he passed that test with flying colors. Don't you?
I do.
I felt really good about that. And then lastly, you know that I have been probably the last holdout on this, maybe. I have not been sold on Austin Seibert, who at kicker had been flawless coming into this game, and then he had a kick blocked at the end of the half. Maybe it was too low. I'd have to go back, and I'm not even qualified enough really to know. Is it too low? Is it, you know, the bad protection? I don't know. But he made 3 field goals, including his 2 longest of the season. He was good from 49. He was good from 54, his longest by about 9.5 yards on the year. And I watched him in pregame warmups routinely booting the ball with ease through 55, 56. So some of my questions about his length and the ability to just drive the ball from 50-plus were answered, honestly. Weirdly, in a day where he had a kick blocked. He also had an extra point that almost got
blocked. That was wobbly.
It was blocked.
Was it actually touched?
Yeah, I believe it was.
It wasn't definitive on the telecast, and they just kind of moved on.
Balls don't really move like that. So
I didn't think so.
It was kicked like sideways, like a spinning top toward the goalpost. I'm pretty sure that one got touched too. There was a lot of hands around the football. But my concern was you've got to get to 45 to 47 for him to be able to make field goals, Kai Forbath style, or at least the way they thought Kai Forbath was when they first signed him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he proved that wrong, didn't he?
I think so. I mean, to me, the reason. So to answer the question, big picture, I feel better. Similar reasons to you. And this is mostly, I was a bit more of a holdout on, let's not slam the gavel on Philadelphia just yet. Let's not tell you that Dallas is over with, as you know, coming into this particular week. That's not what good teams do, though. Good teams don't look like that. Detroit's really good, by the way. I think that we slept on them because their early loss to Tampa. That's the best team right now in the NFC. Maybe that'll change when San Francisco gets right, if they get pieces back, et cetera. But they're, to me, a juggernaut when they are right. And they're right now. So, but you'd be competitive at some point. They never were. Not at any point in time. Whatever Detroit felt like doing, they could have done. We could have a 300-yard, four-touchdown day for David Montgomery. We could have done it with Jahmyr Gibbs. We could have fed Amon Ross St. Brown. We could have had Sam Laporta go. Whatever they felt like doing, they could do. And Dallas was non-competitive. They're falling apart. And Philadelphia, I'm going, okay, they got A.J. Brown back. And they got Devontae Smith back. Both had touchdowns yesterday. Still got Saquon Barkley, who through a handful of weeks was the best weapon in the sport. They'll be good. They'll be fine. And they weren't. They really struggled to move the football. A couple big plays against Cleveland's defense, including the Longsmith touchdown.
So is your feeling better exclusively based on the rest of the division?
No, that's part one. And part two is I wanted to know what happens when, we always talk about this, when it's not 72 and sunny. I want to know when the
By the way, I don't know if it was actually 72 and sunny or not. That was the best weather game I can ever remember.
It was real comfortable.
It was so nice out. Like, that is... Whatever the default setting is on Madden on a 1 o'clock kick.
You want that.
What a nice day it was.
67 degrees.
Gorgeous.
A little bit. No, not a problem at all. But I want to know what happens. And what happens is Jaden Daniels is still awesome. Ta-da. Solved. Done. So happy about it. Just keep him healthy and we're going to have wonderful results. That's how I feel. So, yeah, I actually feel more encouraged. If it's just for the designs of this year, I said this morning on the Junks, you go, oh, bummer, would have rather won the game. And maybe they're not a Super Bowl contender. Maybe Jaden Daniels is not the MVP. I think all that stuff was reactionary and a bit far-fetched as it was. So for the purposes of this year, you'd like to beat Carolina and be 5-2. But I'm still in this is bonus time. What they've done already is so much better than my expectations. I'm so thrilled that, yeah, you had a setback against the team that might end up being a Super Bowl contender. Okay, not a big deal. We're still... a year and a half, 2 years ahead of schedule, as far as I'm concerned. And I know that may not be the type of winter talk that everybody wants, but it's just a reality. They have $100+ million in cap space before they do anything heading in the next year. That's not a team that's trying to compete right now this second. And here they are competing.
Jesse tweeted me, I'm at Grant H. Paulson. Danny is at Funny Danny. He says, they showed plenty of replays. The extra point was not blocked or touched. I watched it a few times yesterday. There's a ton of hands near the ball, and the ball spins in a non-natural way. Like, I don't know that you kick a ball and it goes that way. I don't know what they said on the broadcast. Darius, did they say it was blocked? Or it sounds like, Danny, you don't think they mentioned it?
Well, they mentioned it. They go, we couldn't tell. And then they just moved on so quickly because Tony Romo had to doodle.
I mean, what did you guys think at home?
I thought that it was blocked. I didn't even know that. I didn't even realize that it went in until I saw the score change, obviously. But... I thought that it was blocked. They didn't mention it on the broadcast, though. And the same went for the field goal before half. They didn't even know that it was blocked until after they came back from halftime.
Yep.
They then told us, yeah, that kick before half was blocked.
So we, even in the press box, like, we could not tell, and they were showing some replays, and we eventually saw it. But the reason we all assumed it was blocked was the dude that blocked it, who's a guard, I can't remember who it is, number 66, big fella.
Ben Cleveland,
thank you. He made it very clear that he blocked it. He was just jumping all over.
I love that, by the way. Thank you.
Airplane. Yeah. You know, he started doing an army crawl across the field. He, like, bit into the rosin bag and pretended like it was a grenade and launched it over to the dugout. I thought it was really weird when he started going through the entire crowd and high-fiving everyone. Then he started doing that Ezekiel Elliott, like, I'm eating the cereal. And then he did the Justin Jefferson gritty. Like, it was very, very clear because he wanted everyone to know. I touched that. I got my finger on it.
I would too, by the way. I would run around pointing at my hand, which everyone had touched. I'd be like, this one right here. Like, I got it.
It's like in hockey, which, by the way, the Caps dropped their first game on Saturday night.
Yes, they did.
But what an amazing opening ceremony for the 50-year celly.
That was cool.
They brought back so many of the great players. Really, anybody who wanted to be there was on site. Over 70 players were back to be honored on the ice, which was very cool. But let's get 2 points next time. How about that? Vegas Golden Knights coming to town next up. But I bring up the Caps because in hockey, a lot of times you'll see that where a guy will shoot from the point and we don't know. Did he redirect it? Did he tip it? And what you're supposed to do is not raise your stick and act like you scored a goal if you didn't tip it. But occasionally, that teammate will do the uncool thing of being like, yeah, I got that. And then after 15 replay reviews, you're like, he didn't get it.
I'm not sure he got it.
That was just a blast from the point.
Does he get proximity credit?
But if you think you tipped it, you want everyone to know.
You tell the world.
That goal goes on the back of your hockey card.